Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Saturday evening. Rory here with you until 7 p.m. We'll be joined on the line by Kieran O'Regan. We'll be reporting on Cork versus Laois. He is currently in Semple Stadium. It's looking good for the Rebels at the moment. 37 minutes on the clock. It's Cork with a healthy lead. 113 to 7 points is how it stands as the Rebels look to up their place in the Super 8. Also on the show tonight, we are going to have reaction from Cork City's draw with Bohemians last night. Much improved performance from the defeat to Derry City last week, it has to be said. We're also going to talk golf. We'll hear from the leader, Robert Rock. An incredible round of 60 for him today. Sees him top of the leaderboard. Going to hear from the under-20s as well after their win over Limerick. And we're going to talk about the Women's World Cup final all the way between now and 7 on the bench. Delighted you could join us on this Saturday evening. It's looking good for the Rebels. Going to get Kieran on the line and just see how it's going. But looking good as Cork look to book their place. They lead by 10 points now, 114 to 7 points is how it stands. Brian Hurley with the latest points there for the Rebels. And Kieran looking good for Cork at the moment.
Yeah, and just as you join us, Brian Hurley has just got Cork's second goal, an absolutely fantastic ball over from James Lockery over from the sideline. But there's about 6.5 minutes gone so far. It's Cork 2-14, Laois 7 points. But a fantastic start to this half from Cork. Killian O'Hanlon, who we mentioned earlier on, went off injured earlier on in the game. He's gone very bad concussion, we believe, and he is going to miss next week if Cork do get through today. We've been told he will probably be missing. It's a very bad concussion, so hopefully he gets well soon. Also, Luke Connolly replaced by Paul Kerrigan in the second half, and Kerrigan with his first touch in the second half set up Brian Hurley for his first goal of the day, which he had been threatening for the whole game, hitting the crossbar twice, getting 2 points. He's really on form today as well, Brian Hurley, but getting the second goal, and just Cork really driving on in this game so far with 42.5 gone, Roar.
Yeah, first half Cork went in, I suppose I was 5 points up at the break, so it looked like a closer game in the first half. What's gone right for Cork in the second?
Yeah, close first half, very close first half, and Laois started very well as well, but Cork have just really come out. Cork started to get the better, we'll say, towards the end of the first half, and they've really started the second half way better. They're really on top. Laois kind of have drifted off so far, and Cork on the attack again now. That's going to be a line ball to Laois now, but yeah, they've really come out even though first half, but Cork really driving on the second half already.
This will be a big confidence boost now, Kieran, heading into the Super 8s as well.
Well, we won't get that. I'm not that confident yet. Yeah, look, does look like Cork will be heading to the Super 8s and Dublin next Saturday night as well for a 7 o'clock throw-in in Croke Park. A black card actually as well here now for Cork number 6. That's Thomas Clancy from Clonakilty. That's an off the ball incident that happened in the middle of the field there just a moment ago, but it should give the team a lot of confidence. But again, they played very well against Kerry Roar. You know, they just came up against a better team and maybe drifted off with the last 10 minutes in that game, and they're really proving now that they're back in the game, for lack of a better phrase. They're playing very, very well so far here today. Paul Guerin, as we mentioned, his first touch set it up a goal. James Lockery knocking back the years. You wouldn't think he is the age he is. And Brian Hurley having the game of his life, I would say, today. A fantastic game, but certainly lots of confidence going into next week. It's going to be a very, very, very tough game, obviously, against Dublin. But you never really catch them on the hop. First game of the Super 8, their first game since the Leinster final, which they had a very one-sided game against Mead. So, you know, possibly could go well next week. Sorry, Laois on the attack now. Could have got a goal there, but the referee has brought it back anyway for a free on the 13th. So it's 45 minutes gone. It's Cork lead, as you say, should be in the Super 8s next week, but still about 25 minutes to go here. It's 2-15 to 7 points in favour of the Rebels so far.
Alright, thanks for that, Kromachek. And with you in a couple of minutes, that's Kieran O'Regan there up at Semple Stadium. It's looking like it's going to be a decent win for the Rebels, barring a massive Laois comeback. 2-15 to 8 points is how it stands at the moment. So a 13 point lead for Cork with 25 minutes on the clock. Also this afternoon, Tyrone and Cavan going head-to-head in their qualifier. It's Tyrone 13 points, Cavan 4 points. That's how it stands with 5 minutes played in the second half. Galway and Mayo, the big game this evening as well. That gets underway at 7 p.m. at the Gaelic Grounds. In the Red FM Division 1 Hurling League, just underway as well, Sarsfield and Ballyhea going head-to-head. In Camogie, the reigning champions Cork have beaten Dublin 220 to 9 points in the All-Ireland Senior Camogie Championship. Earlier on this afternoon. At Castle Road, the Cork Intermediate side also facing Dublin today. That's underway since 5 p.m. And the latest score from there, with 42 minutes played, it is Cork 2-9, Dublin 3 points. So it looks like it's going to be two wins for the Cork teams over Dublin. At the Women's World Cup today, in the third, fourth place playoff, it has just finished. Sweden have beaten England by 2-1. It was a very, very good game this afternoon. And we will hear from Joanna Reardon a little bit later on, as she will preview the World Cup final between Netherlands and USA tomorrow. Across channel football, Chelsea midfielder Ruben Loftus-Cheek has signed a new 5-year deal. The England international had started to become a regular in the first team of Stamford Bridge last season before injury put an early end to his campaign. Now, what a day it's been for Robert Rock. The 2009 runner-up is the one to catch after day 3 of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. The Englishman is 13 under par, a 10 under par round of 60 in Lahinch, which included 11 birdies. It could have been a sub-60 as well. His putt on 18 just going a couple of inches to the left, but an incredible round. So he's now one shot clear of the field, which includes Rafa Cabrera-Bao and Eddie Pepperell on 12 under, Xander Lombard on 11 under par, Cormac Sharvin from County Down is on 9 under par, excuse me. While Robin Dawson, a fantastic round from the Waterford man today. He shot a 6 under par round of 64 to move to 7 under, so he's certainly in a conversation heading in to tomorrow. Shane Lowry, meanwhile, finished today at 2 under par. He's hoping to end the tournament on a positive note tomorrow.
Now it's kind of try to achieve a good score tomorrow, gain a bit of momentum going into Portrush, and I'll have a few days off tomorrow, or next week, but you know, maybe get for some games out in Portmarnock and some places around Dublin to get to keep the links golf going, and head up to Portrush and see what I can do up there.
And Patrick Harrington, Seamus Power, both 1 under par after shooting rounds of 73 today. Elsewhere today at Wimbledon, French Open winner Rafa Nadal strolling into the last 16 today with a straight set to win 6-2, 6-3, 6-2 over Joe Wilfried Tsonga this afternoon. Eight-time champion Roger Federer taking on Lucas Puig at the moment, and it's Federer who leads by 2 sets to love, 7-5, 6-2. He's a game to love up in the third set. 23-time Grand Slam winner Serena Williams, women's world number 1 Ashley Barty, both advancing with straight sets wins today. And the mixed doubles happening as well today. Serena Williams and Andy Murray are partnering for the first time this evening, so no confirmed time on that one. The big story Wimbledon this week, Corey Gauff. She defeated Venus Williams earlier on in the week and produced a sensational comeback yesterday against Polona Herzog to book her place in the next round. She says she's glad to get through her latest battle.
Well, in this moment, I just feel relieved that it's over, but my parents were just telling me to stay calm and stay focused because the tournament's not over yet. I've been kind of celebrating the night after the matches, and then the next day back to practice.
Ronan O'Gara's time the Crusaders has ended with another Super Rugby title. They've beaten Argentina's Jaguares 19-3 in the final of Christchurch to land a third successive crown. He'll leave his role now as the backs coach at the Crusaders to become head coach at La Rochelle later on in the month. The 106th Tour de France is underway. The opening stage was a 194.5-kilometre trek starting and ending in Brussels. Mike Tunison won today's stage, beating Peter Sagan literally on the line. I had to go to a photo finish. That's how close it was. Now, Tunison becomes the first Dutchman to claim the yellow jersey since 1989. The defending champion Geraint Thomas was involved in a crash late on, but he says he is fine afterwards. And Ireland's Ewan McMahon and Finn Lynch have both reached the Gold Fleet final stage after 6 races in the Laser World Championship. Lynch is 50th place overall in the 156 boat Olympic qualifier event, while McMahon improved to 41st place. 6 races comprising the final round, with 5 nation places to be allocated for Tokyo in 2020. All right, just to get you updated on the Cork and Laois score since we last mentioned it. Cork still 13 points clear, but it's Cork 2-15, Laois 8 points is how it stands there at the moment. Go back to Ciarán before full time just to get a wrap up on that game. Hopefully hear from some of the Cork team before we get out of here at 7 o'clock. And Tyrone 14 points, Cavan 5 points is how things stand there in that game. Going to start the show with football, and Cork City with a nil-all draw last night against Bohemians. But what was a much improved performance considering the 4-1 defeat that we had witnessed against Derry City last week at Turner's Cross. Joel Coustrane making his debut for Cork City after signing on loan from Shamrock Rovers looked decent. Marco Sullivan replaced him after an hour. Mark, he certainly put himself about. Great to have Marco Sullivan back in Cork City colours, and no doubt he will score goals and create space for his teammates in the coming weeks. Cullen was at the match, and he spoke to Cork City first team head coach John Cotter.
Is with me. John, it was a big improvement, wasn't it?
It was. I thought we were outstanding tonight, to be fair, and everything look that we've asked of the players over the last 7 days after last week, they've given every bit of it, and that's all everyone in this city and this club asked for, is a lot of passion, commitment and effort, and to be fair, they gave an abundance tonight, and I think the crowd responded to that as well.
You asked last week, as you said, we were standing in the exact same place after the defeat to Derry, and you were questioning the hunger and the kind of passion of the players. They really responded to that, and they really upped the game this week, didn't they?
Oh, they did. I thought they were outstanding, to be honest, and that's to a man. That's the subs included that came on, and look, as I said, that's all this club asks for and this city deserves, and they've been doing that for years anyway, and I thought tonight was back to a proper Cork City performance, and on the front foot and being aggressive and playing some good football as well at times.
Some great performances from a lot of players tonight, right across the team. I mean, a lot of the more experienced players, the Gareth Marcy had a great game in midfield, Conor McCarthy got man of the match, Carl Shepherd leading the lineup front played very, very well, Gary Buckley played okay, Conor McCormick, lots of guys. There was really good performances all round, wasn't there?
Absolutely. As I said, that look, that's to a man, they were all outstanding, they all gave absolutely everything they could, and as I said, that's all we have. But these lads have been brilliant, to be fair, for this club, and will continue to do so as long as they keep winning performances like that, and the attitude and the hunger, as you say, and look, it's positive going forward from this week. Probably disappointing not to win it. I thought we had a few chances where probably fell to the wrong people. Poor, yeah. Colm Horgan had two at the back post there, but maybe he needs a small bit of
work. He's not used to being up there, is he?
No, but look, he'll get a bit of work that way as well, so look, no doubt, hopefully if another one falls him, he'll take it.
Would you agree that we were the better team?
Absolutely. I thought we were. I thought we were outstanding. Thought we moved the ball well at times, and we had a great shape as well. We looked solid, and the last two games, we've had two clean sheets, and we didn't look like conceding in either game, and that's all you can do, take the positives, and I thought there were a lot of them tonight.
There were two new signings, one started tonight, one came on. I want to reference Marco Sullivan first of all. The crowd were singing for him to come on from about half time, and he really kind of raised the atmosphere here. Obviously we all know him from years with Cork City, and he's very popular at the club.
He is, and look, I know Marky inside out, to be fair. I'd know him, I don't know, probably too long at this stage, but we knew exactly what he'd bring. He brings everything I've spoken about last week and this week, and gives the whole place a lift, and that's not just the crowd, and I can totally understand why the crowd get a lift from him, because the effort he puts in, and he gives every player a lift as well, and the support and the staff, I should say. And for a fellow who's not done anything for a few weeks, I thought he was outstanding when he came in.
He got rightly stuck in, didn't he?
He did, but sure, that's Marky.
That's Marky for you.
That's the way he plays, but he's a lot of quality too, and I think a lot of people should take more note of that as well, because he's not just a fellow who'll get stuck in. He'll do all that, but Marky's got a lot of quality as well, and he wouldn't have been playing at this level for so long if he didn't.
And a good man to get a goal.
Great lad, yeah, great man. So look, unfortunately tonight one probably didn't fall from us one stage, but look, as I said, he only played 25-30 minutes tonight, so look, I've no doubt the more he plays the better he'll get, and give us another option.
Obviously a friendly match as well on Monday night, but we look ahead beyond that to the European game now. We know the opponents after last night. It's Progress Niederhorn from Luxembourg. Do you know much about them, John?
Yeah, look, we would have done a bit of work on both sides obviously over the last 2 weeks now nearly, I suppose, and look, we'd have had them watched as well, and we'd have watched videos of them, and the preparation has started on that, but look, it's from tomorrow on we start feeding that preparation to, or that news information to the players, and get prepared for that.
I mean, that performance tonight, if you carry that in, that's the kind of performance you want to see again next Thursday night, isn't it? I mean, that it needed a lift like that tonight going into the European game. That's so important for the club.
Absolutely, and look, European nights have been brilliant here. They create a great buzz around the city, and rightly so, and that performance might give all the players a lift too. Look, and there's actually players inside there who are disappointed, and I can understand why, because I thought we should have won the game. and hopefully we can bring that into Tours then, and the crowd as well. We're going home hopefully a lot happier as well, and hopefully they bring their energy as well, and we can get the crowd going as well that way.
Mentioning the crowd, the atmosphere seemed a lot more positive tonight in general than a lot of games this season. There's been a lot of negativity around, especially last week, and a few other games this season as well, amongst the crowd, but it was real, just full on support and full on passion, and it was very positive tonight.
It was, absolutely. And look, that's some of that is down to the players to show that passion first and foremost, and they did tonight. And look, that's all we ever ask them, that's all this club deserves, and that's all the staff ask of them, is to give that. And once you give that, look, this club is a very forgiving club that way. For, as you say, the crowd going off tonight, you swear, after winning the game, to be fair, but that's the crowd they are. They've been absolutely outstanding, and we need the crowd going forward, and as long as the players can keep giving everything, look, I've no doubt the crowd will back the players to the hilt, and that's what happened tonight.
And just finally, John, friendly Monday night against Preston North End as well, is that a game that you're going to, like, obviously rest a lot of the first team guys ahead of Thursday?
Yeah, look, we have a lot of lads too who haven't played games in a while. It's hard to give fellas games with two when you're probably under pressure to be winning games, but yeah, it's a great opportunity, and it's a good opportunity for some of our underage lads too, the lads who've been doing well in the 19s, to get some game time. And obviously coming back home as well, you have the likes of Sean McGuire, Alan Brown, Adam O'Reilly.
Yeah.
So look, it'll be great to see these players here again as well.
That's Cork City first team head coach John Cotter there speaking after last night's nil-all draw with Bohemians. A much improved performance. I think everyone, as John mentioned, I'd say leaving Turner's Cross was a lot happier with the effort put forward by the Rebel Army last night. So good to see Marco Sullivan back, and friendly against Preston now on Monday night, and then Europe on Thursday. Cannot wait. All right, Cork has scored a third goal up in Semple Stadium. Kieran O'Regan can tell us who got it.
I sure can, Rory. Yeah, fantastic goal from Mark Collins. It looked like Brian Hurley was going in for his third, but he was probably running into a bit of trouble. Laid it off to Mark Collins, his clubmate from Castlehaven, who just came along beside him. Mark Collins slipped it in under the legs of the keeper as well. And we've just had a yellow card as well for Ian Maguire, Captain Ian Maguire. Possibility, there was worry it could have been a red, which obviously would have put him out for next week and possibly the following week again. He's just got an injury to the back of the head, and he's hit out at number 8. The two of them are at each other, but no, nothing there. That's okay. Also, Rory Dean looked like he got injured, but he's back in play as well. Cork running back in towards the goal. It passes to 13. That's coming back out. Not sure who has the ball. He's gone for a shot, and it's gone in. Oh, it's just come off the line. Sorry about that. Give you a bit of expectation there. Sorry. Almost another goal for Cork, but they've kind of a bit of sloppy defence. I won't lie. They've let Leash in through an awful lot. That goal that Leash have just got as well in the last few moments as well. Poor defence. Ball, aimless ball, kicked aimlessly. And Leash got it, went in and got a very easy goal off the back of it, which has left the score at the moment at 57 and a half minutes, 317 to 111. They're on the attack again now, Leash. They're running in, they're on the 20, but running into trouble. They'll have to take a shot from way back out here. Number 12 is running in through with that now. That's Martin Scully, and he's taking the score. He's got a point. No, that's gone wide. It's interesting because Leash have come out of Division 3. They're going to play in Division 2 next year. Cork went down to Division 3, actually, from Division 2, but there's a huge gulf in class here between the two sides. It's Leash, just not up to Cork standard. Cork really, really, as we mentioned earlier on, really, really playing very well.
All right, Kieran, cheers. I will check in with you in just a little bit, just before full time. But Cork certainly motoring along very, very nicely there. Indeed, latest score is Cork 317, Leash 111, so a 12-point lead for the Rebels with about 13 minutes to play. Meanwhile, Tyrone leading Cavan at the moment, 17 points to 5, 90 minutes played in the second half. And the Liberty Insurance Intermediate Camogie Championship, Cork leading Dublin 213 to 5 points with that 55 minutes played. Alright, more from the Cork City match last night. Going to hear now from Garold Morrissey, who's also speaking to Colm.
Yourself tonight, but a much improved performance from the team all over, really, compared to the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a tough period, because obviously there's a transition, and we're working on things in training, and we're putting it in during the week, and sometimes no matter what you do in training, it's games that you use to perfect it. And obviously, like, you can't afford, you don't have the luxury of being like, you need to win games, you know what I mean? So we've been working on a few things, and I think it's coming together nicely with Cots and the lads. You know, they're putting in a serious shift with us, and Yeah, so we've, you know, clean sheet up in Harps and tough place to go. I felt we built on that again tonight, another clean sheet, played better, you know what I mean? We got on the ball, created chances, and, you know, Bo's flying in the league at the moment, so it's no mean feat for them coming down here and, you know, probably thinking that we're not at it or whatever, but it's good to make the cross a bit of a fortress. You know, the fans were brilliant again. It was like the way it was in previous seasons, so really positive, and I think we can just build on that now.
I was just saying to John Connor, the atmosphere was amazing tonight. It was like, as you said, it was like the last few years. That hadn't been seen at all, really, this season up to now.
No, I felt that as well. I was like, first half, you know, it was like, it was cagey, you know, it was cagey out. And, but then as we got into it, end of the first half, into the second half, you really felt the confidence build and, you know, it transpired into the fans, and they were buzzing. And, like you said, it was like eating prior to last season and previous seasons, it was brilliant. You know, it was like back to where it should be at the cross. You know,
big week ahead now. Back in European football, obviously you've played in Europe for quite a few years now, and it's something that this club loves. And we've done quite well in Europe over the years as well, getting quite a few good results. So there's a lot at stake next week. There's a tie possibly against Rangers at stake. Financially, it'll be huge for the club to go through. So I'm sure all the players are mindful of that as well.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you get to take your eye off the league for a couple of weeks with Europe, and it's a totally different thing. You know, it's tough to explain it. Even I suppose as fans watching it, there's a totally different feel about it. You know, and it's fantastic. And like you said, like there's just everything about it is great. The buzz, the atmosphere, going to different stadiums, different countries, the build up to it, and then you pick up a result along the way, and you know, it's fantastic. And I suppose, after building on Finn Harps tonight, we're a friendly Preston on Monday, we're building going into that game and highly anticipating it. And I think we could make a great season of it, and I suppose first and foremost a great summer of it, you know.
It has been a disappointing season so far, but I mean, it could easily turn around. I mean, there's still Europe to come, there's still the FAI Cup to come, and there's still league points to be played for.
You know, that's it, like, and that's the beauty of sport. There's so many competitions. Even though we haven't really clicked this season, we've been putting in the hard yards, and like I said, we're building, and I think we're getting there. And like you said, there's so much to play for, so it's not as if like you're going into training thinking, sure, this is it, like, you know, it's lackluster or anything. We know there's so much to play for, and there's loads of silverware there, and like you said, like, good European runs to be put in, and I think it's fantastic, you know. So we're really looking forward to it. I think it's the start of could be the start of something brilliant again, you know.
Yeah, Scott Morrissey there speaking after the draw with Bohemians last night. Really, really looking forward to the clash with Progress Nidarcorn on Thursday night. Hopefully a big crowd at Turners Cross for that one. European football, Turners Cross, sunny Thursday evening, 99 on the way to the cross. Can't beat European football. So fingers crossed Cork didn't get a result. Watched a bit of them against Cardiff Metropolitan University on Thursday. The students winning the game 2-1, finished 2-2 in aggregate. The Luxembourg side going into the next round on away goals. Didn't look up to much. You'd fancy Cork to have a rattle off them at least on Thursday evening, so fingers crossed we get a performance, and we're celebrating a famous European result on Thursday evening. Alright, just to get you up to date on the latest scores from Thurles, it is Cork 3-18, Laois 1-12 with 10 minutes left to play. Paul Kerrigan with Cork's latest score, so Cork at 12 points up. Tyrone's the leading Cavan, 17 points to 5, and Cork Camogie Intermediate Championship taking on Dublin down in Castle Road, and it's Cork lead 3-14 to 5 points with 58 minutes on the clock there. Now, a great result for the Cork under 20s during the week as they beat Limerick on Wednesday night's progress in the Munster under 21 hurling championship. So they will now go into the semi final. They will face Clare on Wednesday night. After the game, Ciarán spoke with manager Dennis Ring.
Thoughts after that win?
Look, we dug out a very good win at the end of the game. It was a very difficult game. It was a tough physical game. You know, a fair play to Limerick. They bought their A game, and they really put it up to us. You know, I think we got penalised a lot. A lot of frees been given to Limerick, and maybe we weren't overly happy with how some of that worked out, but from our perspective, our lads, our attitude was fantastic. They dug in, they showed a lot of composure, got a great goal which was needed. Evan went through and Shane followed up in it. We got very good scores from play at that stage. I think we were relying a lot. I think if you look at the breakdown, our scores from play were significantly more than theirs, and that probably tells its own story too, you know.
And listen, Limerick came back out in the second half and they kind of started to get on top, but Cork, in fairness, kind of got back to grips with it and drove on.
Yeah, we found a way. Fellas dug in hard and they really wanted to get it, to find a way, and they did, and fair play to them. Their attitude is fantastic. They're a fantastic bunch. They're mature lads. They got to an All-Ireland final 2 years ago, so they know what it's like to be in difficult situations, and you know, we were in a difficult situation tonight, and there were a number of times we pulled away and they came back to us, but it shows a lot of maturity, the way in which we held on to win there at the end.
Clare next week, I think it is, it'll be a tough game.
Well, on the basis of tonight, you'd have Clare kind of favourites on that performance, you know. Clare played Galway in challenge matches recently, and Clare were vastly superior to Limerick in those matches, and we must remember the four guys who played against Cork and in the senior a couple of weeks ago. You'd Dermot Ryan, Aidan McCarthy, you'd Young Hayes, and you've Gary Cooney. They're guys with senior experience. We don't have as much as experience as them, so it's going to be really, really difficult. But look, it's a challenge. We want to be there. We're delighted to be there. If we do, we're in a Munster final, so the prize is massive.
Yeah. You said the other day that Melrick was injured. He came on today. Yeah. It's obviously very positive.
Yeah. Delighted to get game time into him, because he's a fantastic young fella. We need him, and he's very important to us, and we're absolutely over the moon. He came in and made a big difference. His pace and athleticism and his composure was really good. His distribution of the ball was really good, and he minded the ball for us at times when we needed to mind the ball and be sensible and not rush and panic. And when fellas were panicking maybe a little bit around him, and you can't buy that experience, you know. He was man of the match county final 2 years ago. That doesn't happen.
Would you be worried about the opening couple of wides ahead in the first 5 minutes?
Yeah, look, that's the first championship game, and nerves and so on and so forth. Their first few sidelines, their first few puckouts went over the sideline as well. You know that you're going to get that. So I suppose it's a good benefit of having the match behind us. You'd say that should stand to us next week.
Yeah, it's Dennis Ring there speaking to Ciarán after his under-20 hurlers beat Limerick last Wednesday night. Great, great performance from the Rebels. They're now going to face Clare in the Munster semi-final on Wednesday, which I believe is in Porky Rin. Now, Ciarán also got a chance to speak with Captain James Keating.
James must be as captain of the team, must be proud of that win.
Yeah, it was a good honour now to get the captain. We knew coming here tonight that Limerick would be a very tough game. We knew we had to focus and be fight for the game.
Yeah. No, and there was a couple of wides there at the start. Were you worried at any set?
No, maybe we took a bit of time to settle, alright, maybe, which is maybe a worry. But no, next week now we have to just focus and try to get our shooting right, because we did create the opportunities. It was a big thing as well. Like, if we just take them now next week, hopefully we can drive on.
Yeah, and look, that game next week against Clare is going to be. I think your manager said Clare will be going in as favourites on the back of that performance, but it's going to be a very tough game.
Yeah, obviously we played them in the minor final 2 years ago, but they're a totally different team now. We saw it was the four players playing with seniors that beat our seniors, so they're going to be gunning for us now after that especially. So we just have to focus for the week and get the rest and recovery in, and hopefully drive it on again.
And listen, you came back out in the second half. Limerick really came at you. I think they kind of took control at the start of the second half, but you came back into it. You didn't leave them get on top of you either.
Yeah, maybe there's a lot of experience in this team now from that minor year. Mm-hmm. We know now if teams get a run, it's just slow the thing down, calm. We know we have the players, and just to relax the whole thing and try to get back on top again.
Yes, Cork captain James Keating there speaking after the win over Limerick last Wednesday evening. And Clare and Park are in now next Wednesday night for the semi-final, so best of luck to the Rebels in that game. We'll have reaction on that coming up next week as well. Ciarán will be down at the game on Wednesday night, and Leo has updated as well on our Twitter page at Big Red Bench. Got a text into the show just saying if we could give a mention to the Irish women ultimate frisbee team, who've just become European champions over in Hungary today. A lot of Cork girls on the team, and it's the biggest achievement so far for Ireland. So congratulations to the Irish women ultimate frisbee team with that win today. And that text came in from Carolina. Alright, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Women's World Cup.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Big Red Bench.
Alright, delighted you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Saturday evening. We'll go back to Ciarán. Cork have gotten a fourth goal, and who's gotten a care?
Yeah, fourth goal there. I'm after putting away my notes. we're in injury time. But who got it was actually Paul Kerrigan, laid off from Michael Hurley. And Michael Hurley could have actually gone in through himself. He was through himself and could have got it on the score sheet. But instead, laid it off to Paul Kerrigan, who put it into the corner of the net. And no chance for the Laois goalkeeper, Graham Brody. So, Cork kind of eased up a small bit in the last 10 minutes, left Laois back into it. And Laois didn't make a whole pile of use of it, but they have played a small bit better in that time. But then there's been a lot of subs, so the shape of the game has changed ever so slightly as well, I suppose, with players trying to impress and that as well. But kind of the life kind of went out of the game about 10-15 minutes ago when Cork went so far ahead. It's 4-18 to 1-15 at the moment. That's my maths are never good, Roar, but that's 12 points lead for Cork at the moment. Yeah, very good.
Good man.
That's why I married a maths teacher. it's just one way traffic here at the moment now, with Cork just winding on the clock, passing the ball over and back. Interestingly, actually, there's a rule John Horan is looking to bring in, a rule where you can't pass the ball back to the goalkeeper. Both goalkeepers have made complete use of that rule today, the lack of the rule, and they've used it a lot. They've come out field, Laois keepers come out field an awful lot. There's been a point for Cork, and that's Stephen Sherlock, number 26 from the St Finbarr's Club, a score just inside the 45 metre line. Another score for Cork. That's 13 point lead now for Cork with 2 minutes left of injury time. There was 5 signalled. That's due to all the subs as well, but life kind of got out of this for even just here now, Laois just dropping the ball out of their hands. Luckily he's got it again. Paul Kerrigan couldn't get to it, but Laois are on the attack now, but I can't see it getting much out of it. But Cork, very positive performance from them, but still a lot to work on in defence. I think they left a lot of players from Laois through. A lot of those scores could have been preventable, that they got the 1-15. A lot of them coming from frees as well. Cork only having 3 or 4 wides as well in the whole game, which is another positive aspect of their performance today as well. But lots of positivity going into next week's game against Dublin. I think it's confident enough to say that now with a minute left, but an awful lot to work on at the same time. The defence, if they don't work on the things that Laois have got through, then they're going to be really open through. Like Cork have just opened through the Laois defence. Paul Kerrigan went through again, but it's saved by the Laois goalkeeper Graham Brody. It's gone out for a 45. Paul Kerrigan looking for his second goal of the day, but he didn't get it. Graham stopped him. It's a 45 now with about 30 seconds left here. Lots of work on still in defence, Roar, I would say, going into this Dublin game, because Dublin will open them apart. They played them in a challenge match earlier this year, and it was I think Cork won it, but it was against a mid-strength Dublin team. I suppose you could call them the second Dublin team. They'll have to do a lot more than that game anyway to beat this Dublin team next week. But lots of positivity to look forward to, especially for the fans. You know, this game isn't on TV, so they'll only probably get highlights of it. But a lot of positive play from Cork. A few injuries to worry about. Killian O'Hadle, obviously, as we mentioned, he's definitely missing next week. Rory Dean came off injured as well. Something wrong with his hand, we believe. And Ian Maguire, he just looked absolutely wrecked. There, and he was brought off. A good idea as well, because he was on a yellow and possibly could have done something to get another yellow. Match has just gone full time. Stephen Sherlock just scored that 45 as well. So 4-20 to 1-15. But Cork have beaten Laois here in Thurles, and they're heading for the Super 8s next week up in Croke Park. And a fantastic performance. Still things to work on, but a great performance from Cork overall. Full time here in Templeton. Cork 4-20, Laois 1-15.
All right, thanks for that, Ciarán. I can leave Ciarán run down to the pitch there now and get some post match reaction. Hopefully, we'll get to you by before 7 o'clock. But if we don't, we'll have it on tomorrow evening show from 6 p.m. Elsewhere in the other qualifiers happening at the moment, Tyrone very, very comfortable indeed against Cavan, 120 to 6 points. That game is approaching full time, and it finished at Church Road or Castle Road, excuse me. Cork Intermediates have beaten Dublin 3-14 to 6 points in that All-Ireland Intermediate Championship clash this afternoon. And we'll have reaction from the Cork and Laois game, hopefully, as I said, before 7 o'clock, but it might be a little bit tight, so it'll be on tomorrow evening show from 6 p.m. Now, of course, the Women's World Cup final taking place tomorrow evening, or tomorrow afternoon, as the USA and Netherlands go head to head in what should be a cracking game. 4 o'clock is the kickoff time for that one, so it should be hopefully a great end to what has been an excellent tournament. Our Big Red Bench reporter Joanna Reardon has been following the World Cup very, very closely indeed, and Joanna called into studio today to talk about it. Okay, we're joined in studio by our good friend Joanna Reardon. John, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you? All right?
I'm not too bad. We're here to talk about the Women's World Cup final.
It's been crazy.
How much have you enjoyed the tournament?
I've literally been loving every single minute of the tournament. Like, obviously some games are a little bit astray. Mm. Like that USA-Thailand game was like, you know, Spain-Tahiti kind of vibes, yeah. You know, which I think we all can expect. But kind of coming towards the end when we were seeing, like, you know, USA against France, USA against England, you know, Netherlands and Sweden, you know, different games like that, we were seeing top teams come against each other. And I think everyone kind of saw the talent that was there in the women's game.
Yeah, because standard-wise, like, you know, the standard is really, really high.
It's definitely got up. Like, I was watching it, I remember in 2015 when I was in Canada, and I remember staying up until like 2-3 o'clock in the morning watching on Eurosport. Mm. And now that I can actually just flick on, you know, like Sky or like RTE, and it's like there in front of me, you know, it's amazing. But no, I mean, the standard has gone up big time. Like USA, like they didn't necessarily walk it in 2015, but they didn't have it easy. But now they certainly don't have it easy. Like, I mean, they have kind of semi struggled against the top teams this year.
Viewership wise as well, it's done crazy business. I saw the BBC tweeting out, so like 18 million people watched the semi final or something like that. So it's really captured the imagination.
It's insane. And even in the Netherlands, I think it had over 75% of the market for that night, and that was 11-12 o'clock at night when they were playing on. So it's been unreal. Like, and even my brother, actually, he's just over from Sweden, and he was in a pub, and they wanted a flick from Love Island to the Women's World Cup.
That shows you how big it is.
This is like, I've never seen this in my whole entire life, but it just shows that actually people were sitting in the pub gleefully watching it, even though that game wasn't that great. But yeah, it's been unreal, and you know, the top players are actually standing out as well, and that's a big thing as well.
As you said, America facing, or the USA facing Netherlands tomorrow. Netherlands may be a bit of a surprise package going into this and getting to the final.
I think if people didn't really tune into 2017 during the Euros, people wouldn't be, people are surprised, I suppose, by the Netherlands, and rightly so. Like, they won the Euros in their home country, and that was a bit of a surprise, but they had the backing of their home supporters, so people thought, you know, it was just a once-off kind of a thing. And then you had Lieke Martens winning the women's equivalent of the Ballon d'Or, and you know, they were up there, and like, they have some really top players. You know, you've got Miedema, you've got Danielle van de Donk, who's absolutely amazing this season, and Lieke as well, who's quite good. Some of their top players aren't playing as well as what they should. Van der Sanden, she's been benched a couple of times because she's just not there, but they have the talent. It's whether they can, I suppose, pool it together into a team performance is what we're looking for.
And the USA going into this as the holders, as the favourites, and they've kind of met all the expectations.
They have. I think the France game, or the Spain game, sorry, a couple of people were disappointed with how they played. Everyone felt that Spain kind of outclassed them kind of in bits, but I think playing Spain, you know, you're not going to see much of the ball. And then in France, they just turned it up completely. Like, they knew what they were going for. And then against England, I think they grounded out like proper professionals.
They're very good at slowing the game down.
They were so good. I think Alex Morgan was slowing it down on the 85th minute. You know, we're like, Jesus, Alex. But they're proper professionals. Like, they know the game inside out. Like, I mean, they've been there since 99 in the women's game. So what do you expect, you know?
You can see how frustrated England were getting, though. They were trying to get back into the game, and then like the USA just slowed it down completely, took the sting out of the tail. I thought it was excellent.
It was very, very good. I mean, it was what you'd expect from a top. It was actually what you'd expect from a Jose Mourinho team. Because he was at the France game, and everyone was saying, did he like phone in Jill? Was he like, hey, this is how you do it, okay?
One thing that's frustrated me about the games is the amount of VAR usage. I think it slows the game down massively. What's your view on it?
I think we are still probably struggling with VAR. I suppose, you know, it's not really in the Premier League, and it's not kind of in front of us all the time. But I do think that the standard of refereeing, it wasn't great at this Women's World Cup. I do think in general the standard of the women's game isn't that great. Like, we see stuff all the time appearing. I know Cork City, the women's team, they were denied an amazing goal for no apparent reason. Yeah. So the women's refereeing isn't as good as what it should be, and then with VAR on top of it, it's not helping and it's slowing down the game entirely. Like, we want a fast-paced, exciting game, especially for the women's game. Like, we want a good product on mainstream TV for everyone to understand what it's about. So it's been a little bit disappointing, but I think they've calmed down a little bit since. I think the handball was what killed it entirely and an offside. I think it probably came out with Cameroon and the England game. I think that's when everything actually blew up entirely. But it's been a little bit disappointing to see that that's kind of the narrative, but I think the football is really on show now, kind of quarterfinal, semi-final now.
Megan Rapinoe has been the star of the show, mostly for her off-field comments. I think she's really kind of captured the imagination of the public. She was injured last in the England game, was she?
She hurt her hamstring. She was opening the Macarena at halftime rather than warming up.
But,
that's peak Megan Rapinoe. Like she's a star on and off the field. You know, she was one of the only international, I suppose, players, male or female, who actually took a knee with Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
So you know, she's always kind of been out there fighting for equality and equal rights for LGBT and things like that. So she's always been there.
And she annoyed Donald Trump as well.
It doesn't have as much as she's purple hair. Like she's an evident standout. But no, she's a cool gal, and you know, from what I've heard as well, like apparently the USA are backing her all the way, and I think everyone understands her stance, but
are you expecting the USA to grind this out now tomorrow?
I'm expecting that the Netherlands will bring like a fun technicality. Like, I mean, if you want to watch Johan Cruyff at its best, like the Netherlands women's team are doing it at the moment. Like they're well in their 70s kind of style of football. But I think the USA will kind of grind it out eventually. It just depends on how long the Netherlands can actually hold them, really. But if Miedema, Mertens, Van de Donk, if they start taking control of the game, then I think the USA might find themselves in trouble, because their back line is a little bit shaky. Like Crystal Dunn is not a left back. Abby Dahlkemper, this is her first World Cup, her first major tournament, actually. So, you know, they should test the back line. They should be confident kind of going in there.
There's a lot of hype about the England women's team. Semi-final, I suppose they wanted to go out and win the tournament, but they were decent all the way through, I guess.
Yeah, the fun thing, I suppose, with the England women national team, my dad came in and he said, wow, sexism. Anti-British knows no sexism because you're cheering so hard against England here. I was like, I'm not. But the girls, they're absolutely fantastic, you know, and they are opening the game. But I think what we're seeing is that the WSL, which is their league, isn't to the standard of international football. Therefore, their players are finding it hard to compete over a month-long period.
Yeah.
And this is the first time they've actually gone into a tournament with a full WSL behind them. So they did kind of struggle. I think fitness-wise, it kind of let them down. I know they've been working really hard on that, but I still think they have that little bit to go. You know, part of me was delighted because Phil Neville got knocked out. Just I've got to be
not like Phil Neville. I'm not a Phil Neville fan.
He's the saviour of the women's game, according to Phil Neville. But I was actually laughing. I don't know if you saw the pre-match interviews when Phil Neville said their team motto was to be badass.
Yeah.
And the USA girls were like, oh, our team motto is to be the first and second best team in the world.
That tea celebration as well really annoyed the English people, didn't it?
It really did. I didn't think that, to be honest, I saw more people outraged rather than actual outrage by the reaction rather than outraged by the actual celebration. But yeah, it really did annoy them. I saw someone tweet something ridiculous like, you know, we can sip our tea while you kill your children. I was like, Jesus Christ.
That's a bit hardcore.
Dramatic.
There's an Irish involvement as well in the final tomorrow night, because Michelle O'Neill
is going to be the assistant referee.
That's fantastic.
It's unreal to see. Like, I mean, I've seen her at a few League of Ireland games and she's been unreal, and she's been in VAR a couple of times. But apparently she wasn't expecting it at all. Actually, this is her first kind of big time. She was lineswoman for the first game but not assistant. So this time now she's going to be out. But it's unreal for Michelle O'Neill. I think it's inspiring. Like, I know no one wants to be a referee, and I know we know that a lot, but I think it's inspiring for girls to see that if you're not good on the pitch, you can have some other influence in the game as well.
And speaking of kind of legacy issues, I mean, like, is this World Cup and the coverage that it's gotten, because it's been wall-to-wall coverage for the first time, is it going to result in improved amounts of like young girls taking up the sport, do you think?
Hopefully, but I think it, like, we have to kind of be prepared now. Like, I mean, I was looking online and a lot of like the teams, say like the Arsenals and the Man Cities and things like that, they weren't kind of pushing their team out there, you know. They were still kind of talking about, you know, transfers, you know, different things like that occurring. And I think a lot of people were frustrated that we couldn't get easy access to like season tickets, you know, and different things like that. But I think what a lot of people don't understand is, one, a lot of your Premier League favourites do have a women's team, so it's quite easy to kind of link up in that regard. But also, you just as well have it on your back door. Like, we have Cork City here, obviously, next door neighbours, and we have a lot of outlets to support the women's game. And what we do see is a lot of people will turn up for a big final, but a lot of people don't turn out then for semi-finals, quarters and things like that. And I think hopefully now, with the wall-to-wall coverage that this World Cup got, we can now, you know, go to our local games, support the local girls, and even support our Premier League kind of counterparts. If, you know, you want to go to an Arsenal game, the Arsenal women's game is on probably the Saturday before the big men's game, so you can probably make your way down as well if necessary, you know. But hopefully, anyways, it's the start of something, and I hope now, you know, that the likes of the FAI and the FA over in England, that they get on board and they start pushing that women's game, I suppose, more and more. And I know a lot of people will say, oh, but it's terrible, I don't want to watch it. You don't have to watch it. Nobody's forcing you to watch it, but it's giving someone else the option of watching it is what I'm more impressed by.
Alright, score prediction for tomorrow night.
I think Alex Morgan will finish probably with a golden boot. And I think the score prediction will be I think they'll hold them to nil all until 90 minutes, and then it'll be about 2-0 probably. The USA will just grind it out bit by bit.
All right, the John O'Riordan podcast available on redextra.ie. Season 1 is 8 episodes long, and that's where we're coming back soon.
We're coming back. Yes, we have a good lineup now coming up. We've just interviewed Mara Trasny Callig. I have a couple of sports psychologists coming in just to give myself and Rory and all heads up on what's going on here.
Sports psychologists I need.
It's more that we need. And I have some good guests lined up, so can't wait to get back in studio with you.
Yeah, that'll be on redextra.ie in a couple of weeks' time, so check in for that. Joanne, pleasure having you in. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, always a pleasure chatting to Joanne O'Riordan. Don't think I've ever met anyone so enthusiastic and knowledgeable about sport, and we certainly are looking forward to the World Cup final taking place tomorrow, USA Netherlands at 4 p.m. The kickoff time for that one. Alright, it finished in the Tyrone Cavan game. Tyrone 120, Cavan 7 points was how that finished. And if you haven't heard the score, the Cork footballers have had a comfortable win over Laois, 14 point win, 420 to 115 was how it stands. Kieran is just getting post-match audio as we speak. We'll hopefully get it in just before 7 o'clock, but if we don't, we will have it on the Big Red Bench tomorrow from 6 p.m. Alright, going to wrap up today's action at Lahinch today, and one incredible round. Dennis Kerwin was there for us.
20,000 crowd at Lahinch witnessed an outstanding course record round of 60 from England's Robert Rock that moved him into the outright lead on 13 under par after the third round of the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open. Rock birdied his last six holes and carded an extraordinary 11 birdies and just a single bogey, but he's still only one shot clear of Spain's Rafael Cabrera Bayo and England's Eddie Pepperell, who shot 63 and 66 respectively. Xander Lombard's 11 under, with Andy Sullivan and Bernd Fiesberger also well placed on 10 under par. Cormac Sharvin from Ardglass in County Down has given himself a realistic chance of landing his home open. He's 9 under par after an excellent 66. Robin Dawson is next best of the Irish. The Tramore man moved up to 7 under par with his brilliant 64. Shane Lowry shot 70. He's 2 under par, while Padraig Harrington and Seamus Power are both well back on 1 under. So 42-year-old Robert Rock, the man who lost out to Shane Lowry in a playoff for the Irish Open at Baltrae in 2009 and also finished second at Carton House in 2013, will have another opportunity tomorrow to finally claim the Irish Open title. At the 2019 Dubai Duty Free Irish Open at Lahinch with McGurksGolf.com for in-store club fitting with the most advanced TrackMan technology, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Yeah, certainly a fantastic day today for Robert Rock. Inches away as well from 59, just going to the left with his last putt on 18, but an incredible round from him. Going to hear from him briefly now. He's been speaking to Sky Sports.
Yeah, delighted. It was a fun day, actually. I was enjoying playing with Grant. He played really well, actually, and that helped. He made quite a lot of birdies early on, and it helped see that they were possible, and then I started putting really good, and then the finish was a bit much, really. I mean, I had a really long putt on 17, and then when I was walking to the second shot on 18, I had a little look at what the par was, because I kind of forgot, and realised it was an eagle for 59, which your opportunities to do that don't come hardly at all, really. That's my first chance I've ever had to do it. It's disappointing not to, but the same 60 is a great score. It's my best score. And I've played rubbish so far this year, so just delighted to play better.
So you weren't really aware of that magical number until 18?
No, not completely unaware. I didn't think come out. I thought it was eight under, maybe nine under. I wasn't really adding it up because some of the long putts were going in, they felt like bonuses, and it didn't really feel like an actual birdie. It was just a bit of fun. So,
when you're in that moment, though, when the birdies are dropping and clearly you're putting together a very special round, how do you try not think about it to that extent and just, it sounds a cliche, but really stay in the moment?
That's really difficult because I felt myself tying up a little bit on the par three, and I didn't hit a great shot there, probably swung at that a little too softly and steered it a bit. And then similar to the second shot on 17, and faced with a lot, a sort of 60-foot putt with about three different breaks in it, and I got over it and thought it'd be very easy just to try and lag this up. And I thought, just hit it. And I hit it flush out the middle of the putter, and it kind of hugged the ground all the way there. And once it was sort of 20-foot away, I thought, that's it. So that's the thing you've got to try and do, is that let yourself play good when you are, and I've not been great at that, but that was a nice moment to actually ease off and just hit the putt. And it was a tough putt, actually. I mean, I'd been delighted with the two putt, but
yeah, it's Robert Rock there, cool as you like after that incredible round. Could have been even a 59, but a 60. Certainly nothing to be sniffed at Lahinch. Going to hear from Robin Dawson. We heard him mentioned there in Dennis's roundup. He shot a superb round of 64 today, 6 under par round. He's now at 7 under par, heading into the final day, 6 off the leader, Robert Rock. And this is him speaking after his round today.
You made a 15-foot putt to make the cut. It's an amazing feeling to have done what you've done today. What's the first thing going through your mind right now after your round?
I suppose I'm just really happy where my game's at. That's what I've been working hard on my game the last few months, and it's nice to actually see results pay off. So yeah, it's just kind of content with my game more so than anything.
When you come into this, obviously early tee time in the third round, it's a Rolex event, it's an Irish Open, it's $7 million. Do you think about, you know, possibilities when you go out and then shoot 64?
Not really when I'm on the course. I'm kind of in my own little world a little, but it does, yeah, you do think about it at night, of course you do. And but when I'm on the course, no, I kind of just have good fun with my caddy Peter O'Keefe, so keep on doing that.
Nice front nine, tidy, because the front nine is tough. Two birdies, get out in 32. I mean, what were you feeling at that stage? Just have a nice solid back nine and not make the four more birdies?
No, not really. I've kind of just taken it one shot at a time. I thought the pins were a little tough, and then kind of when I actually got out there, and to be honest, the rain has actually helped the course a lot to soften it up, and it's going to be, I'd say there'll be a good few birdies because there is chances coming in there. So yeah,
9 months into your professional career, you had a good week last week for three rounds, and yeah, obviously it's a learning experience. Do you take all of that into a round like that today? And there's obviously been reversals over the past 9 months since you turned pro.
Yeah.
And did you use them today to kind of keep yourself in the right place headwise?
No, not really. It's kind of nice to be playing here in Lahinch. You know, I know the golf course, so there's comfort in that as well. But yeah, of course there is professional golf. There's going to be lots of ups and downs, and I'm prepared for that and take whatever comes on the chin.
When you made the 15-foot putt to make the cut, were you aware, like, gosh, this is? You weren't sweating really in one under. You must have known you'd made it.
Well, I'd be lying if I didn't tell you. I was only trying to two put it from about 15 feet, not actually hold the thing. So I'm actually very lucky to be even here. But yeah,
That was because you thought the cut was going to be level par, and because it was one under, and you made it with no room to spare.
Well, it actually went to one over, so I actually thought I had a couple of shots to spare, and then I think a couple of lads made a few birdies coming in, which kind of changed it very quickly.
Just finally, Robin, because of last season as an amateur, you got into the world's top 10. Number 6 was your highest world amateur ranking. You were runner-up in the European amateur. Obviously, you got to the amateur championship final. Is this kind of what you expect of yourself now at this relatively early point in your pro career, but still, you've learned a lot since then?
Yeah, of course, I've my expectations for myself. So, yeah, definitely. I thought I'm after getting off to a bit of a slow start to my pro career, but this is kind of giving me a lot of confidence this week playing with on the main tour. So I'm really enjoying it. The crowds are great out there as well. So, yeah, it's good fun.
And finally, tomorrow, late tea time in a big event on the European Tour. What does that kind of do for you in terms of obviously your confidence in your career?
Well, I'm going to enjoy the lie-in first anyway, and I'll see you about the late tee time then.
Yeah, it's Robin Dawson there speaking after his superb round 64, says 6 under. It's moved to 7 under in total. Not the best of days for Shane Lowry. Going to hear from him. He's hoping for a good round tomorrow.
Now it's kind of try to achieve a good score tomorrow, gain a bit of momentum going into Portrush, and I'll have a few days off next week, but you know, maybe get for some games out in Port Marnock and some places around Dublin to get to keep the links golf going, and head up to Portrush and see what I can do up there.
And this is Shane speaking about Robin Dawson.
I was at a Dubai duty free dinner last night, and Robin was sitting Robin at the table with Robin. I said to him and Cormac, I said, "Where are you playing next week, lads?" And Robin just turned and playing in Scotland, and I was like, "All right, fair enough for him." So he's a great chance of having a good week this week, and obviously getting himself into Scotland, but more importantly, you know, giving himself a chance to win the tournament. I hope the weather gets, you know, stays like this, and maybe hopefully the wind picks up and he won't be too far off the league going into tomorrow. But it'd be nice for the tournament if one of the lads had a good chance tomorrow. You know, this is up there the biggest tournaments these lads have ever played in. So you know, it's great to see them performing at such a high level, and I really feel like we need to get a few more paddies out on the European Tour, and you know, hopefully those lads can do the business tomorrow.
Yes, Shane Lowry there speaking after his third round at the Irish Open. Looking forward to another cracking day's golf in Corsola. It looks fantastic as well. And a good test as well ahead of the Open next week. All right, that's pretty much it from us. I didn't get a chance to get a reaction to you from Thurles, but that means we'll have it all on tomorrow evening show at 6 p.m. We are going to hear from Paul Kerrigan, Ronan McCarthy and Brian Hurley on tomorrow evening show. So tune into that at 6 p.m. And we'll also have reaction from Mullingar, Cork taking on Westmeath tomorrow at 3 p.m. So we'll have reaction from that, and hopefully we're celebrating another Cork win. Also on tomorrow evening show, we're going to talk to Cork motor racing driver Luke Allen about his impressive career. He's racing in Asia at the moment, so we're going to talk to him about that as well. So that's on tomorrow evening show, 6 to 7 on the Big Red Bench. Thanks very much indeed for tuning our way. We are back tomorrow at 6. Stevie's up next with the Block Party. Follow us on Big Red Bench, Twitter at Big Red Bench. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, folks.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.